You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Dodgers. I am Allison Twitter from MLB.com, and I am joined by one of my favorite columnists from MLB.com, Lyle Spencer, who is based in Southern California and is paying attention to all of the teams there. And Lyle, we're going to talk about the Dodgers, and I want to talk about the trade deadline, of course, which is coming up very soon. And I was making a list of starting pitchers that I thought the Dodgers might be interested in, and I basically wrote down every pitcher that we've heard that might be available.
Right.
So I guess Hamels would be like number one, and then you go on from there, but they should be pretty much in on everybody, right?
Yeah, I think so. As we get closer to the deadline, I get the sense that the two guys everybody's been talking about for months might not be the guys that they're aiming at for various reasons. Hamels has had this recent stretch of difficulties, which I think has raised some red flags. And Cueto has some history of arm issues. And you know, obviously there's a significant difference in what you would have to give up for those guys versus guys deeper down the list, which has me thinking they might be looking at the second tier at this point.
And so who would you consider the second tier, like Kazmir, Mike Leake second tier? Is that who we're talking about?
Yeah, those guys. And there are a few other guys people haven't mentioned. One, it was interesting to me, is Giovanni Gallardo, who's with the Rangers and is in his contract year. He'll be a free agent this winter. And he's had a very solid season with Texas. And, you know, it's just a question of if they decide they're out of the hunt. The problem with all American League teams at this point is pretty much nobody is really eliminated. And so, you know, these next few days are going to be crucial for these teams to determine whether they're sellers or not. And I looking at the Rangers, I kind of think that they realistically don't think they're going to have enough to make a push to, especially with the Angels kind of taking off the way they have now, and the sense that the Astros are good enough to hold up. So I got to think the Rangers would have Gallardo out there, and he's a guy who would be interesting in a lot of ways as kind of an ideal number three guy. The other guy you mentioned, who I'm very intrigued by, is Scott Kazmir, who I know very well. I covered with the Angels. I think he would be a tremendous fit with the Dodgers. And the interesting thing there, of course, is that Billy Beane has been known to deal guys like that for prospects not necessarily ready right now. And the Dodgers system is loaded with young pitchers who are a year, two, 3 years away. So that, to me, might be the most logical trade partner for the Dodgers. And I think Kazmir would be perfect for them in that number three spot.
Yeah, Kazmir, I would imagine, would be a hot commodity for a lot of teams. Would it shock you if the Dodgers made two deals, like to get two starting pitchers? It seems like they need it. I mean, of course, everybody needs starting pitching, but seems like they're might be even in a more dire situation, depending on Brett Anderson's Achilles injury. So is two pitchers out of the question for one trade?
No, I don't think it is out of the question at all. And another thing that the Dodgers have is they have a lot of position players, and they have a surplus of outfielders, as everybody knows about. And they have a number of players that can move, as well as young arms. So no, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I've always thought that the notion of a blockbuster that's been floated out there, something like Yasiel Puig for one of the Mets starters, ideally from the Dodgers' point of view, maybe Noah Syndergaard, that would be a real fascinating deal on so many levels. Those deals are hard to pull off, and ordinarily you don't like giving up an everyday player for a starting pitcher who goes every fifth day. But the Dodgers' situation with so many outfield options kind of changes that. And you know, there's a sense that maybe Puig would be better off in a new place, starting fresh, and to get one of those young Met guns would be, you know, that would be a coup for the Dodgers. So that, I don't even know if that's a realistic possibility, but that's, it's certainly interesting to think about.
Oh, it is fascinating to talk about. So you think Yasiel Puig would be better off in New York City?
I know it sounds kind of crazy, but who knows? I mean, he might really thrive on that kind of electricity and energy and just a change of scenery. And importantly, knowing that he would be their guy. I think I've always felt that's been kind of part of the problem in L.A. is that they've had so many high-profile guys who wanted to be the guy, from Kemp and Ramirez, and you got Adrian Gonzalez, and you got Puig. And if he went to New York, there would be no question he would be the guy, you know, unless David Wright came back to what he used to be. And I think Puig might thrive on that, on being the guy that everybody's looking to, you know, be the hammer in that lineup. So, you know, it could conceivably turn him around. And the guy, everybody can see the unbelievable talent he has, but he's just seems to be sort of in decline for part of it, of course, is the injury issues he's had, but it just seems strange that he looked like a guy who was going to take that arc to greatness, and he's just leveled off, you know, in the last year and a half or so, and it's just kind of puzzling.
Yeah, wow. I never even thought about him coming up in trade talks, but that would be interesting. I want to go back to Hamels just for a second. With Cole Hamels, a lot of speculation has been, like, maybe the struggles that he's been having lately are because he's, like, in this rut, being on a Phillies team that is, like, headed toward, you know, catastrophic record, and that you just kind of can't really get your mind in and get that adrenaline. And I mean, do you think that there's anything to that? Do you think there's more to that than maybe perhaps that he's, like, has an injury that nobody knows about?
Yeah, I definitely think it could be that. I think losing the way he has these recent years, you know, it has to weigh on a guy who's, you know, an elite athlete. I don't care what sport or what position you play, or, you know, you've been conditioned to win and compete. He's been there at the highest level and performed under the greatest pressure. So that's what it could be. You know, it might not be anything physical. And if that's the case, then he would be certainly worth everything the Phillies seem to be demanding for him. But I don't think the Dodgers are secure enough in that, you know, the two guys everybody wants are guys that I don't think they will move. And that, of course, is Corey Seager, who they definitely won't move because he's going to be a big-time star, whether it's at shortstop or third base. And the other guy is Julio Urias, the kid, the lefty from Mexico, who's just a dynamic talent whose upside is up there in that, you know, I hate to say it, but it's up there in that Kershaw range. So, you know, I can't see them moving either of those two guys, and if you know, my sense has been the Phillies have been insisting on one of those guys for Hamels, and I just don't think the Dodgers would do that.
I when you win like once a week, I mean, it's brutal. Having covered teams that have done that, it's just like a guaranteed loss every time you take the field to lay on a guy.
It's depressing. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Zach Greinke. So let's talk. Okay, so now I'm in the category of, for those of us that remember Oral Hershiser's scoreless streak, and I am in that category, I remember it very clearly, which was like unbelievable, 60-plus innings of scoreless baseball. And so Zach Greinke is at 43 2/3. Pretty amazing, because it's not like, I mean, there's been a couple bad teams that he has done this against, but there have been a couple good teams, too, that he's held scoreless. So where can you place what he's doing historically, the season that he's having? Is pretty unbelievable.
Well, yeah, it's right there with Hershiser's. In fact, I was at that game where he broke the record in San Diego when he went 10 innings. And I think everybody was just astonished, first of all, that he got to that point and that he did what he did. And then, of course, he went on and was the hero of the postseason. It was one of those magical seasons. Greinke reminds me of Hershiser in a lot of ways. He doesn't have this 98-mile-an-hour fastball anymore, but he's just so smart and so precise, and he has so many things he can do with the ball. You know, he's probably in that Hershiser, Greg Maddux mold more than some of these guys in the past, like Clemens and, of course, Nolan Ryan, you know, very few of those type guys. But he's just an artist, you know, and he does all of his study. You know, he's the most prepared guy. He has a plan, but he also has the ability to kind of freelance and go with his gut. And he's just on this colossal roll, and, you know, it's fun to watch. It's amazing to watch, and he could break that record against either the A's or Angels back at Dodger Stadium if he gets through the Mets this next start. So that's going to be really fascinating if it comes down to that.
Yeah, and given what the Dodgers did the year that Oral set that record, it could be a nice little omen for them. So
that's a very good point. And the thing is, he hasn't been stretched out as much as Hershiser was. Hershiser, you know, at that time there wasn't as much reliance on bullpens, and so he was going 8 and 9 pretty much every time out there. So Greinke actually should be better preserved for October than Hershiser was, because Hershiser was a workhorse. And Greinke generally goes 7, sometimes 8, and they've done a nice job in not overextending him.
Well, it'll be fun to watch, and that would be a pretty interesting thing to happen for the Dodgers. But things are always interesting for the Dodgers. And Lyle, thank you so much for joining us, and hope to catch up with you soon.
Always a pleasure, Allison. You take care of yourself.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.